God in the house tonight. Praise God. I want you to extend your hand toward him right now, and I want you to pray for him that the word of God will come forth without a filter, that he'll say exactly what the Holy Ghost has said, that he'll tell us exactly what God has desired in this house tonight. Praise God. Somebody begin to say it. You preach to me, preacher. You tell me what the Holy Ghost has said tonight, preacher. Ah, we love you, brother. Preach the word of God tonight.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Isn't it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Could you give the Lord one more hand clap of praise? Oh. Well, thank God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's here. Amen. That's come to loose shackles and break chains and set the captives free. Amen. Do you believe that's what the Holy Ghost will do tonight? Have you come to hear a word from the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. I need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. Amen. I'm thankful for the privilege to be able to be here at Alabama Revival Conference. Appreciate the invitation. Such a great honor. And then the teaching this morning by Brother Ellis. Amen. I've never heard any better teaching in all my life. I appreciate the word of the Lord, brother. I want you to come to Dayton and preach to my church. Hallelujah. We need to hear that kind of teaching. Amen. That's what will make the bones get strong. Hallelujah. Yeah, and then I was looking forward to hearing Brother Booker tonight, one of my favorite people in all the world. So we'll look forward to hearing him tomorrow night in Jesus' name. And so you're stuck with me now. And I pray that the Lord will help us. Amen. I pray that God will help us. I'm so thankful for my wife being with me, my little boy. Amen. Makes this trip a whole lot better for me. Amen. Baby, I love you tonight. Thank you for being in my cheerleading section. Hallelujah. Let's go to the word of the Lord tonight. Book of 1 Samuel chapter number 13. 1 Samuel chapter number 13. Hallelujah. I do feel that the Lord would speak to his church tonight. I feel that he would talk to us if we'd open up our hearts and open up our minds to what the Spirit has to say. I want God to talk to us. I want shackles and chains to be broken. I'm going to tell you, I feel like God wants to give a word to this entire congregation tonight. He wants to encourage some. He wants to warn others. But we need to take heed to what the Word of God has to say. 1 Samuel chapter number 13. And then we'll jump to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse number 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. The Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Saying, Saul, you had a chance. Your kingdom could have been established forever. But now, God is taking it from you and giving it to somebody else. 1 Samuel chapter number 14. Verse number 35. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. He did a good thing, but he just did it too late.
He built an altar. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. But he didn't build an altar when he should have built an altar. He waited until the kingdom had been pulled from him. And then he said, I think I'll pray. Tonight, if God will help me, I want to preach the Alabama Revival Conference. Too late to build an altar. Jesus, I need you to help me tonight. I feel that sweetness of the Holy Ghost. I pray you'd talk to everybody, every heart, every soul that's in this sanctuary tonight. I pray that God, before we leave here, we'd be challenged by you. We'd be transformed by your Spirit. I pray that you'd anoint me, that you'd put in my mouth the words that you would want me to speak, that shackles and chains would be broken, that captives would be set free. And Jesus, we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Could you give the Lord one more hand clap of praise? God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Saul has been called the man who lost his kingdom. No man among Bible characters had such the advantages that this man had. King Saul was blessed with chances thrust upon him to make a success of his life like no other man in Scripture. However, no man in Scripture ever missed so badly with the chances that they were given. Saul, the Bible tells us, built an altar unto the Lord. But he waited until his kingdom had already been taken away from him. I want to talk to you about this man, Saul. At a very early age, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he was anointed, and he was filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and turned him into another man. The Bible said that God was with him. It goes on to tell us that God gave Saul a new heart. You want to talk about a good start? You want to talk about a fabulous start? You want to talk about an opportunity? God was with him. God was anointing him. God made him another man. God gave him a new heart. And in Saul's early years, he was humble and he practiced self-control. In his early years, God used him to bring victory to the children of Israel. When Saul was yet little in his own eyes, God used him mightily to bring deliverance to the children of God. 1 Samuel chapter 11, we read where that Nahash the Ammonite came upon the children, or came upon the people of Jabesh Gilead. The men of Jabesh said unto Nahash the Ammonite, said, make a covenant with us, and we will serve you. Nahash the Ammonite answered them and said, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I might thrust out your right eyes. In other words, I want to take your vision from you. I don't want you to be able to walk the way you used to walk. I'm going to take away your vision from you. And the men of Jabesh Gilead said, give us 7 days. We're going to send messengers. See if anybody can come and save us. The Bible said that then came messengers to Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of the people. The people lifted up their voice and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul looked around and saw what was going on. And he said, "What aileth these people? Why are they crying? Why are they lamenting? Why are they upset? What seems to be the problem?" And the Bible goes on and tells us, amen, they told Saul the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Bible said that the Spirit of God came upon Saul. All of a sudden, Saul heard what was going on with the children of God. And he got mad. He got angry. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And Saul took a yoke of oxen. And he cut them in pieces and sent them throughout the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, "Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen." And the fear of the Lord came upon the people. And they came out with one consent. The Spirit of the Lord came on Saul. Something stirred up inside of him. Said, "This ain't the way it's supposed to be with the people of God. This isn't the way it's supposed to be at Jabesh Gilead. This isn't the way it's supposed to be amongst the children of Israel." And he was stirred up with righteous indignation. And he began to send out a message. And his message was heard in the ears of all of Israel. And the scripture tells us that 330,000 men came with one consent. And they said unto the messengers that came to Gibeah, they said, "You go back and you tell the children of Jabesh Gilead that tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, you shall have help." All it took was a young man that wasn't concerned about who he was, wasn't concerned about what everybody else thought. He said, "That's the people of God. That's the people of my people. I'm not going to allow a Nahash the Ammonite to take their eyes and steal their vision. We're going to do something about it." And through his anointing, the children of Israel united. Through his anointing, Bible said that they slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained of the Ammonites were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. All because a man named Saul allowed the Spirit of God to come upon him. And that Spirit of God stirred something up inside of him, and the children of Israel received a mighty victory. What a wonderful start to a life that was destined to become great. Life that was privileged with choice situations. Life that was anointed like you don't see in Scripture. Let me just tell you, here is a young man. His daddy's name is Kish. His name is Saul. His dad's asses are lost. And they send Saul out with a servant and said, "Find my asses." And there they go out looking. Amen. And they can't find them. And all of a sudden, amen, they come to where the man of God is. They come to where the prophet of God lives. And the servant said, "We've come this far. We might as well not go home just yet. Let's go to the man of God and see where we might find what we're looking for." And when they got to where the man of God was, Scripture tells us that God had already spoke to the prophet the day before and said, "There's a young man coming. And when he shows up, he's going to be the one that's going to be captain of the host of Israel. He's the one that's going to be the king of Israel." Samuel anoints him. Samuel tells him, you're going to leave here and you're going to head back home. And on your way home, you're going to run into a bunch of prophets. They're going to go to prophesying. And you're going to prophesy with them. Sure enough, Saul gets amongst the prophets and they begin to prophesy. And Saul begins to prophesy. You find me in Scripture where there's anything, any start that was any greater than King Saul's. Here's a man that's going out looking for a donkey, if you will, and he comes back prophesying. He goes out as a servant of his father, amen, looking for a donkey, and he comes back being anointed as King of Israel. I'm telling you, it was a wonderful start to a trivialized life. It was a wonderful start, but it became a horrible finish. Because Saul, it came so easily to him. Brother Sutton, he didn't even have to work for it. It was just dumped in his lap. He just fell into it. The danger of that is when things come easy, we don't like to pay the price. And so here is Saul, when he got the anointing of the Lord, there should have been something on him that said, I'm going to do everything I can to keep it. I'm going to do everything I can to keep the unction flowing in my life. I'm going to do everything I can to keep the power of God stirring in my life. Saul, first thing he should have done when he got to the house, he should have said, I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to make me a prayer room. I'm going to learn to pray. I'm going to learn to fast, because there's something on me that I can't keep if I don't stay in the presence of God. But I'm telling you, because it was easy for Saul. Saul said, I'm just destined to be great. I'm just destined to be king of Israel. I'm just a cut above everybody else. Saul never built an altar. Saul just shocks it up to he's great. Battles are won, and he takes the credit. Never one time did he bow a knee and say, I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to learn to seek the Lord. God, I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight. Highly emotional. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a problem we have in apostolic Pentecostal Christendom. And it's people thinking they are so, got so much zeal and so much charisma and so much potential that they can just do whatever they want to do and get by with it. But you listen to this preacher tonight. It don't matter. Your call and your potential won't take you deep in the things of God. I'm going to tell you what will take you to the high heights in the deep depth of the Spirit. It's not your call. It's not your potential. But it's your altar. If you don't pray, you might as well forget it. If you don't learn to build an altar, you're going to come crashing down. Saul is so used to of everybody singing his praises. Said, oh, I'm big. I'm a big shot. Look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at my. All of a sudden, you start reading on the pages of God's holy writ about a young man by the name of David. And David starts prancing across the pages of God's word. David starts getting victory. David kills a giant. And the women of Israel come out into the streets and sing and shake their tambourines and write songs about David's greatness. They sing songs like Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And there's something inside of Saul that becomes irate. It becomes bitter. It becomes angry. He looks at David in a way he never looked at him before. Now, David is not just one of the boys. David has now become a threat to Saul's kingdom. And Saul knows, I've got a problem. Saul understands, I'm not doing it like I ought to do it. And he sees this young boy named David. And jealousy stirs up in Saul's heart. Said, I gotta kill him. Because if he keeps going, he's gonna take what's mine. That's where we make mistakes. What we have here is not mine. It never has been mine. It never will be mine. I'm privileged to stand in this altar and in this pulpit tonight and be anointed by God. But this anointing is not mine. It's God's. And when you start thinking it's my anointing, there'll be a spirit of Saul rise up in you. And you start looking for a javelin that you can pick up and you can thrust somebody through with it that you feel is a threat to you. Saul is so jealous. Saul is so enraged. He hears them sing, Saul has killed his thousands and David's his tens of thousands. And he said, I've got to get him. I've got to destroy him. I can't let him go on. You know what? You know why Saul was so jealous of David? I'll tell you why he was so jealous of David. Because Saul knew in his heart, if he would have learned to build an altar, there would have never been a young lad named David. If Saul would have learned how to pray, we wouldn't have read about this young lad named David who was ruddy of countenance. But because Saul refused to build an altar. God said you can only go so far on your potential. You can only go so deep on your name or your pedigree or your pastor's name. I know men that have traveled the country preaching. It wasn't because they were the greatest of preachers, but they knew somebody. And I've watched them crash and burn because they knew somebody, but they didn't know the right somebody. They never learned to build an altar in their life. And they crashed and they burned just like Saul crashed and burned. If Saul would have built an altar, the same spirit that came on him the day he heard the tidings of Nahash the Ammonite. He looked around. He saw the weeping and the crying. He said, what's going on? And they told him the tidings of Nahash the Ammonite, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him. I'm going to tell you tonight, if Saul would have built an altar when he heard the tidings of Goliath, when he stood out there, amen, and started mocking the children of Israel, it wasn't just one time, Brother Wilbanks. The Bible said for 41 days, Goliath presented himself, and for 41 days, Saul hid in his tent. Saul, you have nobody to be angry with but yourself. Forty-one days, Goliath comes out. Said, send me a man. And if Saul would have had an altar in his life, it wouldn't have mattered how tall Goliath was. He'd have said, you're asking for something you can't handle. You're asking for something you're going to regret asking for because there's an anointing on my life. But because he hadn't been praying, when Goliath showed up, he had to hide. I'm going to preach to you tonight. It's time for the chickens to learn to pray. We in apostolic ranks, we are on Sundays, boy, we can shout with the best of them. We know how to holler and carry on and tell the devil what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And we're going to rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And we leave church on Sunday night and we don't mention the name of Jesus again until we come back to church the next week. You pray, tell me how in God's name you think you're going to have the courage and you think you're going to have the boldness and you think you're going to have the anointing to withstand giants in your life. If you're going to be a giant killer, you've got to learn to be an altar builder. If you're going to learn to slay giants, you've got to learn to build altars. Come on, Alabama Revival Conference. I've come to tell you, your potential's not good enough. Your call is not great enough. You've got to have an altar in your life. You've got to have an altar. You've got to have a prayer room. You've got to have a prayer place. Shando Rabakasa Tadabaya. It's not enough to be stirred up on Sunday. That was Saul's problem. At times, the Spirit of the Lord would move on him. Saul and Samson had the same kind of dilemma. They were great without much effort in being great. Therefore, they never learned to pay the price to continue in greatness. I'm not against it. I'm just telling you for me. My father-in-law, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest men that ever walked in shoe leather. Respected and well-known among everyone at Pentecost, on the Texas District Board. My dad, one of the finest Christians you'll ever meet. When I started evangelizing, they never picked up the phone and called one person to try to book me a revival. And I'll be honest with you, it made me mad because I thought the least thing they could do is try to help a boy out. But there was something in them that said, if you got it, you'll dig it out on your own. We ain't going to hand it to you on a silver platter. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I learned that if I'm going to be anything in the kingdom of God, it's going to take work. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take an altar. And I've come to declare to Alabama Revival Conference, if you're ever going to do anything, you got to learn to be an altar builder. Don't wait until it's too late to build an altar. Don't wait until you mess up and God pulls it off you. Don't wait until you messed up so bad that then you say, well, I better learn to pray. No, you need to learn to pray before that. You need to learn to erect an altar in your life before that. Amen. Saul and Samson never built altars. The Bible tells us that at times the Spirit of the Lord moved on. Every once in a while, he'd come to church on Sunday, Brother Will Banks, and he'd get a little chill bump.
he'd get amongst the people of God, and there'd be something run up his back, and he'd feel like he could run through a troop and leap over a wall. I'm going to tell you, just because you feel that way on Sunday night doesn't mean you got the power in your life like you need to. Don't let the devil deceive you with an at times anointing. That's the problem at Pentecost. We've got a lot of at times anointing. We don't need at times anointing. We need all the time power. We need all the time anointing. We need to go to bed anointed. Get up anointed. Go to work anointed. Come to church anointed. We don't need it at times. We need it all the time. You hear me tonight? I don't ask God to anoint me before I preach. I'd be a fool. The only time I ask for God to anoint me is when I step behind this sacred desk. I'd be committing spiritual suicide. God anoint me while I preach. And then I step out of the pulpit and live like a carnal reprobate. It would be to my demise and destruction. I'm going to tell you how this preacher prays. I said, oh God, I want you to anoint my life. I want my life to be anointed. Because, Brother Sutton, if my life's anointed, I can stand in this pulpit and be anointed. If my life's anointed, I can meet someone out in the foyer of this hotel that's seen in dire straits, and I can lay hands on them and pray, and God can touch them. If my life's anointed, I can go to church, I can go to work, I can go to the grocery store, and God can use me. But if all I've got is an at times anointing, I'll crash and burn. So angry at David, I'll kill him. No, Saul was really mad at himself because he knew he'd never built an altar. And so now his kingdom has been jerked from his grasp. A kingdom that Samuel said would have been an everlasting kingdom. It would have lasted forever. But because he wasn't an altar builder, God said, I'm going to raise up David. I'm going to raise up a young man. He might not be perfect, but there's one thing David knows how to do. He knows how to get out there, and when he's tending them sheep, he knows how to start talking to God. And he knows how to let the Spirit of God start talking to him. He's out there tending sheep. He's the least of his daddy's sons. And there he is, ruddy of countenance. Nobody pays no mind to him. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ, Jehovah God did, because Jehovah looked down into those fields where David and his sheep were, and he heard a young boy as he began to pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me. Lead me. Lead me in the way everlasting. And God heard that prayer and said, David, I believe I will. Hear this, preacher. Hear me. I come to you with a heavy heart. I come to you with a burdened spirit. Because I'm going to tell you, I know there's people in here that pray. I'm not saying you don't. But I'm going to tell you, we've got a problem. We've got a disease in Pentecost. People can praise and people can shout, but they've lost the desire to pray. Your praise and your shout can only carry you so far. And then you've got to have an altar in your life. You run laps until you run the leather off your shoes. But it ain't going to help you when Goliath shows up. When Goliath shows up, you better have an altar.
Help me, Holy Ghost. Sitting at a restaurant just a couple of weeks ago in my city. And across the table from me is an older gentleman. He's in his 60s now. He was a preacher's son. He was a pastor's boy. The hand of God was on his life. He went to Bible college with great men in the Pentecostal movement, and he was destined to be one of them. There was a flaw in his life. And he looked across the table at me, and tears running down his cheek. He said, Pastor Smith, I'm not telling you what to do. God knows I'm not. He said, I'm asking you in the fear of God. He said, teach those young people to pray. He said, because I never learned to pray. Now, 62 years old, he's trying to pick up the pieces of a broken life. What could have been? Too late. Are you saying he can't be saved? No, I'm not. I believe he will be. But I'm telling you, too many wasted years. Because he never learned to build an altar. And there was giants that came and rocked him out of the church. And now he's clawing his way back in. But it's been many years. And it's been many heartaches. And it's been many disappointments. And all he can say is, teach the children and the young people the value of prayer. Because I built an altar. But it was the first one I built. And I waited too late. And I plead with Pentecost. I've come with a burdened heart. I've come with a word from God. I don't just say I've got a word from God, but I know I've got one tonight. And I've come to declare this word of God to you. You've got to learn to build an altar. Because if you don't, Saul, there'll be Davids that come and take your place. Saul, you could have had an everlasting kingdom. Saul, you could have wiped the pages of biblical history of the name of David. And it could have all been you. Saul, you could have been a giant killer. But you let prayerlessness kill you. And in your zeal for one more move of the Spirit, oh, Brother Saul, in your desire for one more sweeping of the supernatural, let me hear the preacher one more time. Let me hear that voice that I despise one more time. Oh, I hope you can feel what I'm preaching. I got to hear it. It's driving me crazy. I never learned to pray. me. I've lost my kingdom. I've lost it all. I've lost my reputation. I've lost my name. I'm losing my mind. Let me hear the voice of my preacher. Stand with me. And in his desire for the supernatural, he staggers in to a place he never dreamed he'd go. He staggers into a place he told all Israel to destroy and wipe out. He walks into a witch's house and said, drum up the spirit of my man of God one more time. Can you hear me? There's a lot of embittered Pentecostals, men that have got so angry with God, they never learned to build altars. They never learned to pray. And things they used to preach against, and preachers they used to preach against, they find themselves going to a charismatic church saying, let me just feel something. I gotta feel a move one more time. The man that could have been the greatest in Israel became a name that is associated with tragedy. Never built an altar. I wonder, is there anybody in this room tonight? You'd walk to this front and you'd start building an altar. And it wouldn't be just an Alabama revival conference, but you'd start building an altar that would last until the sounding of the trumpet. Come on. We need some altar builders. We need some altar builders. I like praise and I like worship. But what we need in apostolic ranks now is some altar builders that learn and know how to pray.
Give myself.